Today on Business Therapy, we're bringing on Stacey Bennett, who is an expert in financial mindfulness. Don't miss our conversation today, where Stacey's going to give us her take on personal and business financial mindfulness, how to stay mindful during a downturn. And if you stick around, she might even give you five of her top tips on how to stay financially mindful going forward. So don't miss it on Business Therapy. We hope to see you there.
Welcome to Business Therapy, the podcast that explores the intersection of business and mindfulness. In this show, we bring you stories and expert insights on how mindfulness can help you succeed in your career and lead a more fulfilling life. Let's talk about it on Business Therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Business Therapy. This is episode 79. Today, it's as always, let me start with me. I'm Sam Droshack, your host, and we've got Jonathan Adams here also as your co-host.
Hey, everyone.
And today, we'd love to welcome Stacey Bennett to the show. Welcome to the show, Stacey.
Hi, thank you for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Today, we're going to talk about financial mindfulness, and Stacey is an expert in this space. And before we drop into the conversation, Stacey, I'd love for you to give our guest a little bit of intro on yourself, and then we'll go in from there.
Great. So again, yeah, my name is Stacey Bennett. I run an accounting and profit coaching firm called the SLC Group. I spent about 5 years in the accounting space before moving into profit coaching. I saw a huge need among my clients to learn more about how to use money, not just have someone keeping track of how they have been using their money. And so my firm specializes in helping purpose-driven entrepreneurs build resilient, sustainable, and profitable companies with that financial mindfulness and making wise choices about the future of their companies and how they're spending their money. So,
great. And then today I want to talk to you, and it sounds like you do a lot of this work even outside of the context of a looming recession, but I want to talk a little more today about how to stay financially mindful as you're planning for an economic downturn. And some might say we're already in an economic downturn, but before we talk about planning in that context, financial mindfulness is a big term to me. And money, I could talk about hours for money and how money kind of helps. In a way, it detracts from mindfulness a lot of the time. But what is financial mindfulness to you? How do you pair those terms? Tell me a little bit about your take of what that term would mean, being financially mindful.
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I love the topic of today's show because financial mindfulness as a general topic is so important, in my opinion, for general mindfulness in life. Money is one of those pieces of our lives that touches everything that we interact with. And you can learn a lot about how you think and how you carry yourself in the world by watching yourself manage your own money and interact with money. And so for me, financial mindfulness, there's a few different components to it. First is sort of the awareness of the logistics of what is the reality of your money, right? Like how much are you making? How much are you spending? What are you spending it on, right? There's also that piece that allows you to be aware of what you value and what you prioritize by watching how you use money, right? Like you may, if you are paying attention to how you're spending your money or how you're saving or just the way that you're managing your money, you might get some insights into what your values and priorities are. So being financially mindful gives you some illumination into what you value most in life and gives other people that same illumination, right? And then there's also the piece about for me, the way that you manage your money can also shed some light on your integrity, right? Like the things that you prioritize and how they are in alignment or out of alignment with what you say matter most to you. So when I am going through like what financial mindfulness is, like I'm usually working with clients in a variety of places. One, we're working on like the nuts and bolts. How are you managing your money? We're also looking at what are the goals that you have for yourself and the things that you value most? And how is your money reflective of those things? And then we're also looking at if you say these things are a priority, is your money matching up to that? And if not, how do we bring that awareness of what your goals and your values and your actual habits are into an alignment so that you've got that integrity around your finances too? So there's a whole big picture.
Can you give some examples of any of the, you know, like you touched on a bunch of things, but like give an example, like I can imagine with eating, you know, so I say I want to eat healthy, but then I eat potato chips late at night, you know? So like, it's clearly that my actions are different than what my stated intentions are, but give me some examples with money.
Sure. On a personal finance level, it might be something like, you know, you say that your priority is to buy a house, right? And that is something that you want for your family. It's, you want it for your future. It's been a big financial goal for yourself. But if you actually look at how you're spending your money, you might see that, wow, I've got all of these subscriptions that I haven't been paying attention to that are just auto-recurring every month. And I'm spending three times more than I think. If I were to guess how much I'm spending on eating out, the actual numbers are three times more than that because I'm completely out of touch with it. And so there are ways that we sign up for, you know, spending our money that are out of alignment with what our actual priorities are. And by simply paying attention to what we're really doing, we have the option to choose differently, to move our dollars in a way that's more in alignment with what our actual stated goals are.
Yeah. And I actually love the three components you articulated there, because with money, and it's just like a light bulb moment for me, it matches a lot of the themes we talk about in the show when we talk about mindfulness. And I'm going to try to summarize it the way I heard it. The three components of financial mindfulness, really, the first is transparency, understanding what it is by using the right tools and things, and then self-awareness, what is the money actually being spent on, and then integrity. And like you said, making sure that your words are, you're being honest with your words and is matching your actions. And if you actually built that as a three-prong model, you could apply that probably to mindfulness and a lot of things, but I think it plays really well with this financial piece. And it really resonates with me, but I guess for most people, this is probably pretty challenging, lining those all three things up. And you probably see a lot of different things with clients who are failing in one, two, three components of that.
Sure. And the interesting thing is very often it is simply a lack of mindfulness. It's a lack of awareness. Money is one of those aspects that for a lot of people, unless you consider yourself good with money or good with numbers, it's really easy to just, I mean, frankly, not interact with your money, like not check your accounts outside of like, oh, do I have enough money right now to spend on this thing, right? Like maybe I'll pull up my bank account to check that. But like, I'm not looking at my budget for the month. I'm not looking at how much I spent last month on restaurants. I'm not looking at what my grocery bill has become as prices have gone up. Like I'm not tracking my money. And so for so many people, the very first thing to bring into alignment, if you want to be aware of your money, is like, well, interact with your money. What are you using it on? How are you spending it? And then from there, like then you can start actually having conversations about, well, is this in alignment with my values? Is this what I want for my life? You know, if things, particularly if things feel tight or, you know, so I can definitely relate with the experience of it feels like money is just slipping through my fingers. You know, where does it all go? I hear a lot of my clients say that I just don't understand where it all goes. You know, I had this huge sale last month and it feels like it all went out the door before I had a chance to make any choices about it. Well, there's a reason why that's happening. And primarily the reason is because you're not paying enough attention to what's happening in your money to be able to foresee the sort of things that are going to come down the pike. And I think that that is very, very much amplified during these periods of economic downturn.
How do you prioritize though, the extent to which you focus on your money? So like you have X amount of time every day. So there's X amount of time to earn more money. You know, there's X, you know, Y amount of time. And so let's say you see a charge that's $5 that maybe shouldn't be there, you know, like the time it might take for to address that, you know, maybe you could be earning 10 times that, you know, or like, so like at what scale do you suggest somebody take it seriously? Is everything equally important?
I definitely don't think everything is equally important. And I think it really depends on the stage that you're in with your finances, right? Like simply being in a place where you notice a $5 charge that is unexpected signals that you have a level of awareness around your money that, you know, is honestly not entirely common, as sad as that is to say, right? Like a lot of us are so out of touch with our money that we don't catch fraud charges on our credit cards until 6 months down the road, right? Like that is a huge lack of awareness. And those things add up over time. You know, that being said, I think that at the beginning, like if you're somebody who is really, okay, I want to dedicate to learning more about my finances, to really being in touch with how it's flowing through my world. I want to be evaluating how it's lining up with my values. I want to be making strong strategic choices about my finances, especially knowing that we're entering a phase where things might not go as smoothly as they have for me in the past. If you're in that place, then it does help to kind of approach with a mindset that everything that happens here matters. And so I'm going to take the time and pay attention to all of those pieces until I've got a level of awareness that I can let certain pieces go. Right.
So would you say then, you know, when we're talking about the downturn, especially, it's not even, it's almost a false question from listening to you about how, not how do you stay financially mindful during a downturn? It's more, if you haven't been mindful already, it's more important that during a downturn, you start to practice some of the things that you're saying and become more mindful about your money. That will help you navigate it, it sounds like. Is that more the situation?
Yes and no. I think that the answer to that is really that during an economic downturn is when most people start to realize that they need to be more mindful about their money. It's like, oh gosh, the stakes are higher. Now I need to make some changes. In reality, no, the best time to develop financial mindfulness is when we're not going through this kind of an economic situation. Because as I said earlier, it's like these types of downturns or economic pressures, when they get heightened, it's like trying to meditate in the middle of the Super Bowl. Right. Like if you don't have an established meditation practice prior to that moment, it's going to be a whole lot harder to focus on your breath and clear your mind. Same thing is happening in our economy right now. Right. Like the outside external noise and pressure from the economy is so much louder. Prices are going up. People are experiencing layoffs, like all of the things that cause the anxiety and sort of lack of mindfulness around money are amplified times 100 during these periods of time. And so if prior to this, you haven't established some level of mindfulness, it's that much harder to cultivate it now. I mean, in one simple, like nuts and bolts example is like, if you're walking into an economic downturn without an emergency savings fund, right? Like that's one of the first things that you build when you start to get in touch with your money is preparation for the future. To do that at a time where your money is not going as far is a lot harder. So ideally, we want people cultivating these skills outside of this period of time. And, you know, like today is today, right? So if you are somebody who hasn't been cultivating these skills and this awareness up to now, now the conversation becomes, okay, well, how do we cover ground quickly so that we move through this next period of time well, and then continue making the same choices and developing those skills once things kind of come back to normal and you've got more bandwidth to build?
There's an inherent contradiction, though, in mindfulness when it comes to money, because you're saying like you need to save for the future. Then it gets into how much money do I need? So like when I think of mindfulness with food, there's a certain amount that you need for health. Then there's a certain amount that feels good to feel satiated so that I, in my mind, I don't have to worry about ever being hungry again, you know, in that moment. There's a certain amount that maybe I'm doing because it's completely emotional eating. And right. So when I think of money, it immediately triggers this idea of it's almost a limitless amount to feel safe, you know, fully satiated that I won't have to worry again, you know? So, or if the second I start thinking I'm going to have to worry, you know, at some point, then it's almost like I could just let go because it's always going to be, you know, a potential problem. So the only issue is just this moment. So how do you balance like when someone's being mindful versus, oh, you did a great job. You saved, you know, 9 out of 10 cents, you know, right. Your whole life, you know, like what's the ratio?
Right. Right. I hear you're pointing to that kind of like, there's almost never enough to fully satisfy the anxiety, the lack of control we ultimately have over life and the world and things that could happen. Right. And like that, I think that's very real, right? That there is no amount of financial preparation that you can do that will leave you 100% resilient to any possible thing that could happen. Right. And so that is not the goal, and it can't be. It would be a fool's goal. But What we can say is, for instance, I know that I like to take 3 trips a year, and I tend to spend between $5,000 and $10,000 on travel and camping and all of that in a year. And if I want to be prepared next year for that, I know how much money I need to save every month to enable myself to live the life that I want in that area. Or I want to make sure that I have at least 6 months of an emergency savings fund in case something happens. 6 months obviously wouldn't cover certain things, but it would cover enough possible issues that if I had that saved up, there's a huge set of challenges that I could weather better because I've saved up that 6 months.
And when you say 6 months of your known current expenses, basically, right, not trying to plan for some unknown future expenses, I think that's where, you know, where this conversation, right, people get tripped up a lot. And that can be very stressful when it's how much money do I need for unknown challenges of unknown, right, financial quantities? And that's where I think people can lose their mindfulness.
Totally. Well, and there's also this element of like trying to get it right with money. There's so many things I think that trip us up with money, and this sense of like, I've got to figure out the right answer, particularly if you're also dealing with those sort of background thoughts that like, I'm not good with money and I'm not good at numbers, that as soon as you start talking about like making a budget or planning for the future, people are like, gone. They don't have, they've already decided somewhere that they aren't going to be able to follow this conversation through to a resolution for themselves. And so they just don't even embark on the conversation.
And that piece there, I wanted to talk about it with you, particularly because you're in this space. Why do you think people are so challenged? This is a very common challenge. It's not like this is the first time everyone listening to this has heard, make a budget, track what you spend, sure, do the things, sure, right? And why is it so universal that people are either afraid, resistant, challenged, or just in general kind of poor at managing their money or being mindful with their money?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And I, from the years of work I've done on personal finance and business finance, the thing I keep coming back to is it's people's belief about themselves. When I talk to people who would say, I'm not a numbers person, those people always struggle more with managing money than people who would say, I'm a numbers person, or I'm good with math, or I'm good with money, right? Like, it is a decision that you make about yourself. And the danger, I think the thing that is particularly challenging for people is that as soon as you say that about yourself, it is the truth to you. Like, there's not, what I believe about it is that there is no I'm good with money or I'm bad with money. There's I have learned and mastered the skills or I have not. And if you're not good with money, you're not going to take the time to learn and master the skills, even though you have every capacity to. Years ago, before I worked in accounting, before I coached businesses on how to be profitable, I had so much debt, I was in default on credit cards. I lost a car. I was in default on my student loans. And I had it as a very real, like unshakable reality for myself that I'm not good with money. I'm just not good with money. I never learned how to use it. My parents weren't good with money. I'm not good with money. And from that mindset, I had a very narrow set of choices to make around my finances. It was in making the decision that that was a story I had told myself, and that truthfully, I hadn't invested the time in learning the skills on how to manage money. It was in that decision that my life and my financial reality changed. And now I coach people on it. Right. So I am an example of like, it's not a fixed state. If people could overcome the story that they tell themselves about their capacity to be excellent at managing money, that would be the first and biggest step towards actually changing their financial reality.
I think there's an extra element, though, also, like it's the same kind of dialogue that someone has when they say, I'm not going to go to the doctor to find out what this pain is because, sure, I don't want to know. So I think there's, sure, like they might use that excuse, because I've seen people who say, I'm not good with money, like a teenage daughter, for example, sure, who suddenly becomes an accounting wizard when there's something she really wanted.
Sure, and then suddenly, sure,
like, you know, there's derivatives and, you know, like, and everything is very, very clear. So I think that there's, it's like the same thing when, you know, I see the snack cabinet and they're like, oh, I don't want to look at all these ingredients. I'm not a, you know, a copywriter, you know, like,
sure.
And I just take something, you know, so I agree that they've created some narrative about why not, but I think ultimately it's because they don't want to know, because at the other end, the other side of it is some action that they may or may not have to take.
Sure.
That they just want to push off.
So, well, I imagine it's very difficult for people, and we haven't even gotten to, you know, Stacey, you talked about the aligning your spending with your purpose. And if one was to actually looked at every dollar they spent and populated their identity on where all the dollars went, it would probably be a very difficult reality for many people that they couldn't face. In some ways, I assume when you get to that point, it's almost, there has to be a therapy. There has to be a facing yourself aspect of this work to become financially aligned, right?
Absolutely. Both of those points are just, they're perfect. You know, there's so many things. It's like we avoid responsibility by saying that we can't and then just not facing it. You know, one of the first things that I had to deal with when I started getting my financial world together was just how deep a hole I had dug for myself. Right. Like the choices that had gotten me there weren't my parents. They weren't, you know, my schools where I'd taken out the student loans. They weren't anybody's but mine. And it's painful, but it's sort of like, you know, in my meditation practice, there are times where I have to sit through uncomfortable emotions. And we know if mindfulness in other areas of your life is something that you pride yourself on, then you've been through the experience of having to sit through an uncomfortable discovery in order to bring clarity and ultimately power to the area that you're working on. And money is no different.
Yeah, I do want to point out, I find it entertaining in a way, because you talked about bankruptcy is in a way hitting financial rock bottom. A lot of people come on the show and talk about, I had to hit rock bottom in some personal part of my life to find my journey for mindfulness. Yeah. And I kind of find it funny how you're talking about, well, financial mindfulness, that you almost had to go through that financially. Mm-hmm. You had to hit bankruptcy, default to start this journey of financial mindfulness. And I think there is a point where you have to face it eventually or get so bad. But the point we're trying to make is everyone finds this point in different ways, which is you've got to take accountability and you have to face yourself. There's no way you can be mindful without having that relationship with the self. Even it sounds like with money from your perspective.
Absolutely. 100%.
You know, they do all these studies. If you are avoiding doing a very hard thing, pick something even harder that you need to do, and suddenly you'll do that just to occupy your time to not have to do the other hard thing. So it's usually very hard for people to face their integrity. But I love this idea of this exercise of checking. Don't worry about a budget. Don't worry about, you know, if you're being mindful with your money. Just as an integrity check, you say XYZ about yourself. Does what you're spending show it? You know, and maybe the people who don't want to do a budget might be willing to do that activity, which is normally very one that people don't want to do. And through that, they'll start seeing what their finances are.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just tracking, just keeping track of, you know, there's so many great softwares and things out there right now that make it easy for people to do exactly that, you know, but you're right. Like there's that element of, well, now I have to look at myself if I do that. And maybe I'm more willing to look at, you know, what's happening with my dollars than necessarily some of the other aspects of my money. So maybe, which is, it just works well, but that's a great starting point.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like all those, just all those politicians who say, you know, I'm a very charitable person. You know, all of a sudden you see $1 billion and like $1 for charity.
Right. Right.
And I was going to say, it's easy then to even absorb on the, we're talking at the personal level right now, how difficult and how almost exposed that this kind of thinking would make you around your money, but you've been working with businesses. Who takes accountability for a business? When you try to run a business through this type of exercise and say, what do you say as a business and how is it aligning with what you're spending? Tell us a little bit how that exercise goes with businesses.
Yeah. So primarily the clients, my relationship with my client when I'm working with businesses, with the actual business owner. Okay. And so, you know, we very much have a, like the buck stops here. In those conversations, even if, you know, there are other people on your team who are responsible for making certain choices and all of those things, ultimately, as the business owner, your job is to run the show. And so whatever changes need to be made amongst your team and amongst other responsible parties in your financial world, it comes to you. And so the very first thing that we do when I start working with business clients is we do a profit assessment. So we go back and we look at how they've been spending their money over the last 12 months. You know, how much have you been spending on operating expenses? How much have you been paying yourself as the owner? How much have you saved? How much debt have you taken out to fund your company? How much have you had to put into the company to carry it? You know, those types of things start to give us some really great feedback on the overall health of the company. And often, most often, what I find when we do these profit assessments is that the business owners are not paying themselves enough, they're not saving enough, and they're operating on budgets that are unsustainable. So, you know, for this conversation about during an economic downturn, a simple example would be if you're a company that's making, you know, $100,000 and you are used to operating your company on $90,000 of it. Right, then you hit a 15% dip in revenue during a downturn like this, and you cannot cover your base expenses for your company. So we're not talking about, you know, companies that just, you know, they're new and they're not making a lot of money, and economic downturns can be really dangerous to them. We're talking about million-dollar companies can have the same problem. And so with my clients, what we work on is how bloated is your budget, such that you're not providing enough room for resilience, risk management, saving for the future, and creating a pathway towards the goals that you have for your business. And then how do we slowly start moving your business more in alignment with what you say your goals are?
And that process always starts with just awareness of what's actually happening?
Always. Always. Yeah. And in personal finance, it's the same thing. When I'm working with personal finance, you know, clients as well, it's the same. How have you been spending your money? How much are you spending on eating out and groceries? How much are you putting towards debt? How much is your liabilities changing over time? Because once we start to see the past is often going to give us the future unless we make a change right now to get us off of that path. But we need to know what path we're on before we can make that change.
Mm-hmm. And you, and the way you're talking about it completely resonates with us because it matches all the other principles that we cultivate. But yeah. I have a question for you about this, what you do with clients versus maybe more conventional financial planning. Because to a certain extent, if you hire an accountant or you hire, you know, somebody who's a specialist in tax or what have you, there seems to be this boilerplate wisdom of if you want to have more profitability or if you want to weather the storm, you've got to cut in these categories and do this kind, you know, this kind of really templatized. How would you feel that your mindful approach to financial advisement compares with the more conventional or traditional approach? Or maybe what your clients have used to being seeing from other sources or their own accountants?
Sure. I think that the kind of second tier to that mindfulness about really being clear about what your values are and letting your values inform your goal setting and your roadmap. Like that piece, I think, is often left out of that sort of templatized planning, right? So on a personal finances, for example, if you're somebody who really just like you love that time out with friends, you love going out to eat, spending time with them, you get so much pleasure from that, then the guidance to cut your extra spending in that area that you might get from a normal financial planner who just says, oh, we want to try to minimize our eating out and try to eat at home as often as possible, da, 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 that might wash out this thing that you value so much more than in other area of your finances, right? So like I may be willing to spend less on gas and take the bus more often if it means I get to go out to eat and do the thing that I love more often. So that is like a simple example. And in business, it's similar. So for instance, one of the things a lot of my clients prioritize is giving back, right? I work with purpose-driven companies who see their businesses as a way to give back to the world. And very often, conventional wisdom around business doesn't factor in those kind of like feel-good, frilly goals about like profit sharing for my employees or revenue give back contributions to organizations that make a difference that I care about. Those types of things will often get kind of swept aside in the name of fiscal health by traditional, you know, folks in the industries. And so for me, it is that piece of like, not every person is going to have the same roadmap. And if your roadmap is going to be successful for you, it has to reflect the values that you hold most dear.
How does it, when you come, do all your clients or all the individuals to whom you speak, are they predisposed to mindfulness, or they're just looking for financial consulting and you have a mindful approach?
I think that I resonate with people who have a mindful approach. And so I do tend to attract those conversations, or I guess maybe land those conversations a lot better. But that isn't all, you know, that hasn't always been the case. And I certainly do have folks who come to me because they respect my integrity as a professional and they trust the work that I'm doing. And it's not so much about doing all of the digging into themselves. You know, that being said, you know, the thing that I love the most and the thing that I think that I shine the most at is having these conversations about where is your value? You know, what is it that you really want? And then what is it that you're doing or that you could do to get you to where you want to go? And I think that a lot of people who are in this mindfulness space in other areas of their life, it's just a no-brainer to bring that to their money.
And if they're not, to your point, do they resist? Like, I assume that you can't have as good of an outcome with your methodology and the way you think about finance if they won't have the conversation. Okay.
Absolutely. Because a lot of times, and, you know, just, you know, an example, like I have clients that sometimes really struggle with the guidance to not take out additional debt. Right. And like my invitation is not necessarily just don't take out debt. It's why don't you look into what you're taking out debt for? Why are you taking out debt to cover this? It's because there's a culmination of other choices that you've made up to this point that have led you to not have the cash flow to buy this outright. And so like, let's look at that. And when clients are not as interested in the mindfulness, they're not as interested in doing the work to understand what got them to this point. It's not about, here's a tip I'm trying to give you, now take it or leave it. It's about like, no, there's deeper work that you need to do to understand if you don't want to replicate this same issue over and over again in your business.
If you ask somebody what's their value and they say, I want to be a baller, you know, and then they, you know, like, I want to own a yacht. It's hard right. to have a conversation about profit sharing with, you right. know, your employees. Yeah. So.
Right.
Well, money is, like I said, it's a very dense topic. And before we close up here, I want to ask you, Stacey, since you talk money, you work with money, you've had your own financial journey. What is money to you right now? How would you describe your present relationship with money and your life?
Oh, money is for me a tool and a teacher. You know, it is something that I utilize in creating what I want in my life. And it's also one of the biggest teachers I've ever had. I'm learning so much about myself, my hangups, my deep-seated beliefs that get in the way in other areas of my life by watching how I'm interacting with money. So that's what money is for me.
Money is a teacher. I love that. And I think that's something, and a tool. And I think that's something we could all reflect on. Well, before we really head out, I would love for you to share your wisdom with some of our audience. If you had five of the top five money tips from Stacey Bennett to get people on the right track for more financial stability and financial mindfulness, what would they be if you're willing to share?
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. And I think I've got five that really apply whether you're a business owner or an individual. So, you know, put this in both places if you're an entrepreneur. The first three are kind of like they work in tandem. Spend some time with your money. For me, that looks like dedicated money dates once a week. So I block out 30 to 60 minutes of every week to spend time with my money, understanding, you know, what the reality is, how much is coming in, how much is going out, what's my budget, all of that. Second, using that awareness from spending time with your money, make a plan. So have an actual strategy for where you want to go and plan how you're going to get there in the form of short and medium to long-term budgets, right? And then create structures. So the biggest piece that I find fails people ultimately is that they don't have correct structures in place to support their plan. They've got this great idea of where they want to go, but then they're entirely dependent on their own willpower to get there. And that is often going to fail you. So create some structures, separate your money into different places. Don't carry the debit card that you spend, you know, your latte money on that comes out of the same account as your mortgage payment. Like, separate your money and create structures for yourself. And then the fourth would be balance your debt and your savings. So a lot of people, you know, we get scared by debt and we feel safety with savings. And so we might either throw money towards trying to pay off all of the debt at the expense of saving, or we throw all of our money towards saving at the expense of our debt. So it's important that you're doing both, even if you have a lot of debt, right? Like, I'm never going to advocate throwing all of your resources towards paying that down and not also building up your safety net. And then I guess the last one would just be, don't go it alone. There are so many great tools. There's coaches, programs, Facebook communities, books. There are so many people out there that are learning and growing in this area of money. So find your comrades, find your tribe, and use them as accountability and motivation and support.
Thank you so much, Stacey. And thank you for spending some time with us and coming onto the show. It's been a true pleasure. And with that, we'll close up for today. So for those of you tuning in, please don't forget to comment, like, subscribe wherever you're listening. And otherwise, we'll catch you next week.